with everybody. You're listening to Radio Free Nintendo, courtesy of NintendoWorldReport.com. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and I got a very, very, very special guest for this episode. All the way
Thank
over.
Thank you very much, Carl. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, Mike is here.
And I'm special. My mother says so.
His mommy says so. But all the way over in Europe, European correspondent for Nintendo World Report, Lasse Paulsen.
Yeah, that's great pronunciation.
I'm sure I'm messing it up a little bit, but I'm trying here.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. And you know, it's great having you on, Lasse. I mean, this is your first time on RFN, and we're always trying to mix it up with a new cast. So.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I've never tried anything like this before, so I have to like get used to it. But let's see how it goes.
Yeah, and also joining us for this episode is Jonathan Metz.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, guys,
I'm speaking to you from South Africa.
Yeah. <We're not. South African correspondent Jonathan Metz. Johnny, how are they responding to Resident Evil 5?
Oh.
Hey, I think Resident Evil 5 takes place probably not in Africa, actually.
Maybe not. We don't
in
know
fact,
that.
I think the assumption that it takes place in Africa just because there are black people in it is itself a racist assumption. There are black people all over the world. It could be anywhere.
Perhaps so. Well, guys, jumping into new business, once again, I actually have new business. I've been playing a truckload of Brain Age 2.
Me too.
Ever since Mike basically, you know, shitholed it on last episode's show.
I have practically no American accent of any like any definitive like Southern or Midwestern accent. I've got, you know, the flat normal East Coast accent, and it couldn't pick up a single word I was saying.
You have the emo accent.
Oh, ouch. The accent of someone who doesn't have good taste in music.
Ouch.
Well, funny thing though, when I took it back to my place and tried it out, no problems whatsoever.
I also have had no problems, and I do have an accent.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There.
Perhaps this was tested by people like Johnny. But you know, at Brain Age, you know, it's the thing about Brain Age is it's exactly the same game as the first Brain Age, but with new activities. So in a way, it's more of an expansion than a sequel. But it's still worth your time. It's still really, really cheap.
Yeah, you can get it for like $15 at Circuit City or something.
Yeah, and there are some cool unlockables that I don't know if I should mention it to spoil it, but
Just do it.
All right. Well, you get Virus Blaster, and it's cool. It's like it's basically kind of like Dr. Mario ish.
No, it's the same thing, but it has touch controls, and it's the only version of Dr. Mario I've ever liked.
Wow. Really?
I like
yeah.
Dr. Wario that was included with the original WarioWare.
That would be fun.
It was the exact same game, actually. It was just a palette swap with Wario instead of Mario.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
So it probably wouldn't be fun for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's been a long time since I've played Brain Age. Shortly after I reviewed it, I gave it away as a birthday present. And, you know,
re-gifter.
Hey, look, that is not cheap. Come on. Don't tell me you've never done the same thing.
I've never done the same thing. I've never re-gifted, dude. Never.
All right, and B, it was an internet friend.
Okay, well, internet friend, I could see. Maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, come on. How often do you get birthday presents from your internet friends? Not often. But, I never have.
Cough.
You've never... Cough. Johnny's never gotten internet friend gifts. Poor Johnny. Especially when it comes to new games like from Nintendo. He's not one of their internet friends, it seems.
Yeah, hey, before we get into that, Carl, what is your brain age right now?
My first brain age was 52.
Oh.
And now it's at 34.
Okay, I started at 46, and then I got down to 44, and now I'm at 34 also. So we're tied.
Right. There you go. So, but Johnny, getting into other stuff, what is not your new business?
My not new business is Metroid Prime 3. We're recording on Monday night, and I still don't have it. I will get it tomorrow, as in the same day that everyone else gets it. And not that I feel like I'm a total elite hacker and deserve to get games before everyone else, but most other people aren't reviewing the game, and I am. So it would be, let's say, helpful if I at least had the weekend to work on it before it came out, which I did for Echoes.
You need time with that game.
Yeah.
Can't just play for 5 minutes and then do a review.
Yeah, which you probably could for Brain Age too, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to say a whole lot more about it. We haven't completely decided what we're going to do about it, but probably that will all be out in the open by the time anyone hears this.
Well, I played a little bit of Metroid Prime Corruption at the Leipzig Games Convention. I don't know if we should talk about it now or wait for the next section.
Well, I mean, you know, it's
let's wait.
Okay, we'll wait.
Okay.
Let's hold it off. Let's starve them for information.
My new business that is actually new business and not new business is that I got a new PC last week. So that's what I did all weekend, actually, was just setting it up and getting it in order, getting it the way I like it, and it is now the way I like it. And
with
it's
Vista?
Very nice. It has Vista. I know. Send your prayers.
Welcome to the past, Johnny.
Send your prayers. Well, it's definitely...
More like welcome
to
the suck.
My old computer had XP and it was 5 years old, so it's definitely a step in the future for me, relatively speaking. I like it so far. I haven't really had any problems with it. And I also got a new USB headset, so instead of using the crappy $5 microphone that came with my computer 5 years ago to record these, I now have something nice that works.
Snazzy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Lasse, do you have any other new business besides the Leipzig convention?
I have new business.
Well, I've played a bunch of like a BioShock. I got that game.
Yeah.
And
nice.
I also played it at the GC, but it's just an amazing game. I think I like the especially the way the story is told.
Yeah, it's really excellent.
Yeah, how that you're not into these cutscenes. You're really just playing the whole time. And you get the story, even though while you're playing, you get the story told.
Right.
So it's a great way. It reminds me a little bit of the way Half-Life and Half-Life 2 are told.
I would love to talk about BioShock, but I'm like severely at the extreme end of the game, and I wouldn't want to spoil it for anybody.
Mm. No.
But let me talk about BioShock.
I will just say it is excellent.
I've heard that. There's a system where you can like listen to audio parts of the story while you're playing the game. Like it's almost like you're playing in-game podcasts about things that are happening in the game.
What they are is they're audio diaries that are left around the city of Rapture by the
stolen
inhabitants.
All right,
totally.
You don't have to listen.
Make a suggestion here that they could do that with the Metal Gear Solid games, so that you don't have to spend 20 minutes staring at people's faces talking.
Yeah, right.
He's got a freaking radio attached to his ear. Why doesn't he just talk while you play?
Well, John, let me just say that the concept of playing like an in-game radio while you play was stolen from what else but Killer 7.
Whatever, dude.
Carl, you're gonna make me play that game one day.
In turn, the concept of audio while you play the game was stolen from Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Whatever, Prince of Persia... is a bad game, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Carl, have you played Prince of Persia?
I have. It's okay. I'm like a moderate fan of the game, I guess.
Okay.
I also got this is almost Nintendo related. I I downloaded Jeff Minter's Space Giraffe on my Xbox this week, and I say it's almost sort of Nintendo related because this game at one point was going to be released on the GameCube as a title called Unity, which ended up getting canned because of I don't know. A million reasons.
I remember.
And a lot of
like the word, probably one of the reasons was the word shit flying at you constantly and stuff like that.
No, that is actually that's different.
He took that out. Because the backgrounds of the game were full of random cuss words and like
they were
elite
there.
Speak and stuff like that.
He put the random curse words and stuff in the original screenshots for Unity. I think they were in Unity and they were definitely in Space Giraffe because he didn't want those shots being shown to people in the public.
Why?
So he put, because they weren't finished. He wanted to show the game to people in the community, but he didn't want to show it to the public yet because he didn't think it was ready. So he covered the screenshots in profanity. Nintendo really could learn something from this approach because there was all that commotion when they first showed the Wind Waker footage and Link was all, you know, cel-shaded and kitty, and they were like, "But seriously, guys, don't show this to anybody." They could have just plastered, you know, the F word all over the screen while they played it, and no one would have shown it to anyone.
Let me go out on a limb here and say that Jeff Minter's games probably should never, ever be shown to the public anyway.
Ouch.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're bad games, but
they're very
not designed for public consumption.
They are
they're insane.
Niche.
It's like a drug experience, right?
It's literally like playing a really, really complicated version of Tempest while you are experiencing an acid trip.
It's like an interactive version of the journey through space and time at the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's exactly what it is. That is the perfect way to put it, John.
Yeah, it's not like, this is not the game that you're going to have banners in the bus stop or the train station. So no. I just don't see the point of doing that kind of stuff.
But if you have an Xbox, this game is like $5. There is no reason not to own it. Totally. And it's really fun, even though it takes forever to really learn and wrap your head around. It's a lot of fun.
Is it true that the first boss is Jay Allard's head?
It's not a boss. The first level is called The Eyes of Allard. And like, there's lots of weird things that show up in this game. Like, words will be superimposed into the background, but they're really hard to see because there's all this music visualization going on. And in the first level, The Eyes of Allard, the background is actually, you can see, like, pulsing an image of Jay Allard's head as you play the game, and it's, like, scary beyond all reason watching Jay Allard watching you play the game.
That is kind of weird.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Let's,
Space Giraffe, thumbs up.
Let's go ahead and move on into the community. Ty Sugar, apparently tiring of asking people whether or not they will buy Product A, has not updated the Hot Topic this week. So we're going to skip it and head into Mike's crazy mailbag.
Hate for Ty. Every week there's hate for Ty about the Hot Topic.
So this week's crazy mailbag question is a little better. It's a little crazier than some of our previous ones. We're not quite to the level of crazy I want yet, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. All right, so the question is, Carl, who sent this in? You forgot to paste it.
It says Mike. Mike sent it in.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. I thought that was my cue to begin reading. Okay. So it's from Mike, and it's addressed to me, Mike, and the question is, he has a question about Naked Samus in Metroid Prime 3. Do we think that Naked Samus will appear in Metroid Prime 3, or perhaps maybe we'll get to play as Zero Suit Samus? He would like to know what my thoughts are on what the reward should be for beating Metroid Prime 3 with 100% item collection rate. And, unfortunately, for many of you fanboys out there, Naked Samus will probably never show up, as, you know, that would constitute an adults-only rated game, which Nintendo does not allow onto their systems. Mm. But I think Bikini Samus, I mean, she stands a chance of showing up. I don't know if she hasn't in any of the other Prime games. She might this time, maybe. The Wii's got a little more, you know, a little bit more graphical oomph, so maybe they can realistically render Samus in a bikini. I don't know. But, as for Zero Suit Samus, I think it's a big possibility, especially with Brawl coming out this year. You know, Zero Suit Samus is going to be showing up some more. And we got Fusion Suit Samus in the original Metroid Prime. So I think that could definitely happen. Not that it really matters much, since, you know, 95% of the time you're behind the visor and you can't see anyway.
Yeah.
Well, with Zero Suit Samus, she would have a different arm.
Yeah, she did.
Sticking
have
out in the screen. So that would actually be a pretty cool difference. And supposedly Prime 3 has so many cutscenes.
Yeah. Stop trampling over my mailbag.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, am I not allowed to talk?
No.
This is Mike's
reserved moment in time.
Wow.
As for what I think you'll get for the item collection rate, honestly, I have no clue, and I'm just going to move on to the PS because it's a much better question. The question here is, how many Nintendo World Report staffers will look up Princess Peach's skirt in Smash Bros. Brawl as soon as they pick up the game and put their disc into their Wii? And the answer is at least one, because Johnny has confessed to me prior to recording this podcast that he has indeed done this on many occasions and enjoys doing it repeatedly.
I did not say that. You're exaggerating.
You know what?
I said I've done it.
There's no audio proof that you didn't say
it. I think most
people...
Now you can just put anything on me and say, well, you can't prove that you never said it. That's
exactly.
Great. Yeah, there's a good friend. Everybody's done it.
I did something that could be like considered the same thing or almost the same thing, because I used to play the Street Fighter games, the Street Fighter 2, and play as Xiong Li, and then I was just as I would make the high kick, I would just pause the game, and then I could get a good look at it.
It takes some skill, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just pausing the game and
rotating? I became proficient at it.
So that's my crazy mailbag. I don't think, honestly, I really think it could have been crazier. I implore you. We had some really good, pretty crazy questions this week, specifically involving like ex-girlfriends and like the amount of sex one is getting from their girlfriend or something like that. But unfortunately, it wasn't the first question in, so I couldn't take it. But for next week, if you want your question answered on the crazy mailbag, the first person to get their question in with the password Big Daddy will get their question answered.
Good grief.
Make it crazy.
Yeah, let's not reference bad Adam Sandler movies. Let's reference good
dude,
ones.
Dude, I was referencing BioShock. Thank you very much.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm looking at the Big Daddy figurine. Hey, that's where I got it from.
Can't prove to me that you're looking at the Big Daddy.
But I can, because in fact, I never noticed this until just now. There is, in fact, a Big Daddy figurine on his shelf.
Yeah. Excuse me, I think you guys are just conspirators in this prank. But before we leave this topic, Mike, I just want to say that you cannot now say that you will not look up Peach's skirt in Brawl.
Why?
You cannot. Because this is just like the old test of, you know, all you have to do to make gold is melt down lead and stir it for 6 hours without thinking of the word hippopotamus. You know what I mean? It's impossible. Okay. If you, in other words, now that you know that this is a possibility and this is on your mind, you will not be able to resist it.
That's kind of a good point. I may have
yes.
to now.
It is not possible for you to play Brawl without looking up her skirt.
Indeed.
Because the idea has been introduced into your mind, and because it won't hurt anybody if you do it.
Well,
Peach likes it. She doesn't mind.
Okay, well, with that in mind, let's move on to the legit listener mail question. This is from Thomas, who says that, you know, we were talking about Guitar Hero in our last podcast, and he basically wants to know, is there a possibility of Nintendo Miis appearing in the game? And the quick answer to that is no.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen, especially since Activision seems very keen to be putting actual rock stars in the game.
Like Bret Michaels!
Yeah! And more importantly, Slash, who kind of actually matters for something.
You know, a better possibility for this from Activision would be the new Tony Hawk game. Because they're always all about, you know, you creating your own character. So I think it makes a lot of sense if they let you use your Mii.
Yeah.
So maybe they're working on that. I don't know.
Perhaps. Well, with that in mind, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're talking about the news. So see you on the other side. Okey-doke, folks, and we are back for the news. First up, Virtual Console Mondays. Breath of Fire 2 on the Super NES. Ghouls and Ghosts on the Genesis. And Super C on the Super Nintendo.
It's sequel day on Virtual Console, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, I think the standout here is definitely Super C.
Super C is a fun game. We had the NES hooked up when I was back in college, and one of my roommates played through it. One day, obviously, because it's an NES game, but he did it without dying. And I thought that was impressive, but it's also saying that this game is not as hard as Contra, and definitely nowhere near as hard as Contra 3, but it's still a fun game. I would definitely recommend Super C.
Mm. And I never played any of the Breath of Fire games. Are they any good?
Yes.
They are?
I played 1, 2, and 3, and maybe 4. I can't remember if I ever played 4. 3 and 4 were on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the original Breath of Fire is a little clunky. It was, let me think now, it was, I think, actually developed at Square and published by Capcom. And then with Breath of Fire 2, Capcom started developing that series in-house.
Mm.
And someone will probably correct me on that stuff. But, yeah, it's a Capcom RPG series, and they've kind of abandoned it now, unfortunately. But it's really cool. The idea is, it's not anything terribly original, but the idea is that you play this guy who is from a race of people who can transform into dragons. And you get to do that occasionally in battle, and it's really cool. But Breath of Fire 2 is a really cool game. It has a lot of interesting characters, and they all have special powers. They're all unique characters. They have completely different abilities from each other, which is one of the things I really like in an RPG. And it's also interesting in that, like, when you're on the map world and you're moving around, each character has an ability that can be used on the map.
That sounds interesting.
It's
an RPG, so it's definitely worth $8.
It's quite long. It has a complicated story. It's not extremely hard. Well, I don't know. The last time I played it was when they ported it to Game Boy Advance, and they made it easier there.
Right.
But I still think, if you're an RPG fan, you know, if you like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy for Super Nintendo, definitely get Breath of Fire 2. If you've never played it, it's top-notch quality. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, I bought it for the Virtual Console when it came out in Europe, because I hadn't played it before. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really gotten into it, because it's very slow paced for me, and it's hard to get into the story if you don't have the time for it.
True.
So
it is heavy on battles, that's for sure. There's a lot of random battling, and the game is long. I mean, it's a 30, 40, 50 hour game.
Long?
For sure.
Really?
Yes.
I mean
for $8, if you're into RPGs and you're not getting Metroid Prime 3 this week, you should download it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a shortage of RPGs on Virtual Console, so there you go. I mean, what are you going to choose, Sword of Vermillion, really?
See, so. for Ghouls and Ghosts, does anyone have any experience with the Genesis version of that?
I do not.
No.
So. I don't know anything about it.
So, yeah, check out our VC Mondays write-up to see how all these games score.
I bet it's incredibly hard.
Yeah, I'll believe that.
Just throwing that out there.
Moving on to the NPDs for the July hardware. Wii is in the lead with 425,000. Woo!
That's the most they've ever sold in 1 month, I think.
Absolutely.
Except launch.
Well, yeah. Then following up that is the little DS that could at 405,000.
Right on its heels.
Yep. After that, PS2 with 222,000. PlayStation Portable with 214,000. Xbox 360 with 170,000. And the PlayStation 3, which, you know, despite its price drop, could only muster up 159,000. It should be noted,
despite
however,
the fire sale.
Yeah, I mean, it should be noted that, however, that last month it only sold half that. So I guess there has been a
that's a doubling, so that's good. I mean,
yeah.
But they still are in last place.
So yeah, last
Game
Boy
place
Advance.
Except for GBA.
Yeah, the PS3 was managed to edge out its competitor, the GBA.
Yeah,
its bitter rival.
They really are at this point.
I mean, and Johnny, go ahead, ask the question about Game Boys.
How many of those were micros?
Oh yeah, I don't care anymore. I think it's very few. I think it's like 100 per month.
Oh, poor micros.
Because who the hell wants to pay $100 for a Game Boy Advance
that has a smaller screen?
But it's got faceplates.
Yeah.
Dear God. Yeah, those are an extra $10 or $15.
Yeah, man. You'd be all cool with that. All right, well, speaking of fake-outs, I don't know if that is really a good transition, but I'll go with it anyway.
What does that segue mean?
Nothing. We're going to go on with it.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense, bro. Keep going.
We're gonna keep it rolling and go on to something that we saw on IGN. Matt Casamassina was playing Metroid Prime 3 and had an interesting scanning experience.
Yeah, he found this scan panel that, when scanned, reveals, you know, some blueprinty looking things, and the text underneath reads, "Experiment status report update. Metroid Project Dread is nearing the final stages of completion."
Retro Studios developing Metroid 5 confirmed.
Yeah, no. I think this lends credence to the fact that Metroid Dread is not completely dead in the water, but it lends absolutely zero credence to the fact that it is being developed by Retro Studios.
Well, let's give the history on Metroid Dread first up, if the listeners don't know it. Basically, around...
It's,
I think,
about 2 years ago.
It was E3 2005, and Nintendo had sent out a document detailing their DS and Wii, or DS and GameCube lineup for the remainder of the year. And this game, Metroid Dread, was on there.
It was a DS game.
DS game, right. And so everyone goes to E3 asking Nintendo, "Where's Metroid Dread? Where's Metroid Dread?" And it's nowhere to be found. Apparently, it couldn't make the date to be shown at E3, but supposedly we'll see it sooner or later.
Didn't show up next year at all.
It's basically been quiet on all fronts. No one knows what the hell's going on with this game.
Until today, when we get this inkling of the possibility that it's not completely canceled and could very well exist. Though Carl seems to think, because it's in Metroid Prime, that means Retro is developing it.
Why not?
I used this analogy before when I was talking to you about this, but it's like X-Men 1 and X2, X-Men United, are both very, very good movies with lots of really good underlying themes and some badass action sequences, and they're just really solid, awesome superhero movies. And then X-Men 3 was directed by Brett Ratner, who just turned it into nothing but action sequences with absolutely no plot or any substance to the film at all. And that's exactly...
That is a ridiculous analogy. Ratner did not make Metroid Prime 1 through 3.
What? Sorry?
Brett Ratner didn't make Metroid Prime.
No. What I'm saying is that the Metroid series is like the original games being developed by Intelligent Systems, and then it'd be like taking that, another brand new 2D Metroid game, which is entirely separate from Metroid Prime, and letting the guys who do the 3D version of it have a crack at it, when the Metroid Prime games are good, don't get me wrong, but they don't hold a candle to the 2D Metroid Prime game.
Intelligent Systems didn't even make the first.
They made
two
Fusion
Metroid
and Zero Mission, and they were very good.
Yeah, I think.
What I'm saying is,
technically, they made Super Metroid.
Yeah. Why would you take such an awesome franchise and a team that knows what the hell they're doing with it and knows how to make an incredibly awesome 2D Metroid game? Why would you take that and give it to the guys who've never made a 2D Metroid game, who could possibly make it nowhere near as well as Intelligent Systems?
Oh, I have a pretty good idea. I mean, it's quite possible, and in fact, I'd say it's likely at this point, if the game still exists, that it was started, they had something to show for it, and someone at Nintendo said, "This is crap. We have to completely scrap it and start over." And maybe at that point, they said, okay, maybe we should give it to a different team. This is basically what happened with Metroid Fusion. The first time I saw it at E3 was on a video reel as Metroid 4, where Samus was literally running on the walls and the ceiling, and she was, like, glowing and pulsating and stuff. It looked absolutely nothing like Metroid Fusion.
Mm.
So at some point, they completely scrapped that game and started it over. So they probably have done the same thing with Dread. That's why it was listed and then delisted, and maybe now it's showing up. And if it has moved to a different development studio, that could also explain it. So we still don't know. It's obviously a teaser. It's meant to get us talking like this. It's the kind of viral marketing that Metroid Prime 3 could have used a couple years ago.
Perhaps. But here's a thought. What if it isn't 2D?
Well,
it should be.
I think they have seen what happened with Hunters.
Well, no.
And have probably decided not to go that route.
I don't think that's a valid statement, because the problem with Hunters wasn't that it was 3D on the DS. The problem with Hunters is that it was with game design, with level design. There, you can do a Metroid Prime game on the DS.
What I'm saying is, I think maybe they don't want to associate the next Metroid game on DS with Hunters.
Mm.
Maybe. I don't know. Hunters is not a terrible game, but it's not a good Metroid game, that's for damn sure. And the Metroid fan base, I think, probably would not want the next one to look like Hunters.
Perhaps not.
It's also more expensive to make in 3D. It's more expensive.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Very true. I mean, I'm just saying that there are possibilities outside of, 2D Metroid developed by Intelligent Systems on DS, I'm just saying there are other possibilities here.
Well, yeah, but...
Yes.
I think, no one can make it better.
Hmm.
I doubt that the crappy scrap version was made by Intelligent Systems. I doubt that Metroid 4, as it originally stood, was made by Intelligent Systems. I was just watching the video again, and it looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there you go. But we actually got a pretty cool surprise this week when it was revealed on SmashBros.com that Diddy Kong is going to be playable in the game.
Now, one of my friends actually had a really interesting theory that Diddy Kong could replace Game & Watch and, retain a lot of the same abilities and movement types and stuff like that. Only he obviously wouldn't be 2D. I mean, he'd be Diddy Kong, but he would actually be Game & Watch.
Right. Hmm. It's an interesting theory.
I don't know, but, instead of throwing an oil slick, he could throw a banana peel or something like that.
I just kind of picture Diddy Kong as a faster,
faster,
depowered Donkey Kong.
By the way, my friend, I'm not saying I agree with him, but he pictured him as a faster version of Game & Watch.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think Diddy Kong will play nothing like Donkey Kong.
Yeah. Though honestly,
he's so much smaller and faster.
This is kind of cool that he's in there, but I would have greatly preferred Dixie Kong just because her jump would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Look at the helicopter.
Diddy Kong can cartwheel off ledges and then jump in midair.
Whatever.
Question, Johnny.
I was never brave enough to attempt that maneuver.
Well, here's a question for Johnny.
You have to.
No, I just use Dixie Kong for everything, dude.
Would you look up Dixie Kong skirt?
No.
Yes, he would.
No. Dixie Kong doesn't wear pants anyway, does she? There's nothing going on.
I don't know. You've obviously done research here, Johnny.
No, none of the Kongs wear pants. It's famous. Donkey Kong wears a tie, but no pants. It's a well-known fact.
It's a well-known fact. 4 out of 5 housewives know it. Well,
monkeys don't wear pants.
Dixie Kong, I think, looks like, I'm looking at images now, and it looks like, no, wait, maybe not. I think she might be wearing hot pants.
Hey, Mike, now you're the one looking for Dixie Kong and trying to see if she's naked or not.
Yep.
I'm just saying, now you're the
also,
one.
Also, as for the pants, Candy Kong definitely wore a one-piece bathing suit.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Candy Kong?
Exactly.
This topic
is
degenerated.
I think it looks like Dixie Kong was just wearing a vest. I think Johnny is confirmed as... Oh, and also we got Trixie Kong from Donkey Kong 64 wore a full jumpsuit, dude. But Donkey Kong 64 doesn't really count anyway, so...
Whatever. Anyway, next story on the docket, Pro Evolution Soccer is coming to Wii. Yay! Lasse
cares a lot more than the rest
of
us.
Yeah, do you care about this?
Yeah, I care about it a lot. traditionally, the FIFA games have sold better in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and also in the States, but I've always preferred the Pro Evolution Soccer.
I think most people
series
do.
And yeah, it's like the more recent games, Pro Evolution Soccer, they became more realistic, and since then I've preferred them greatly because you couldn't like do all these crazy things that you could do in the FIFA games.
Well, the thing about that worries me about the Wii version is that I think they might be taking the, you know, family-friendly arcade outlook on the Wii and then apply that to Pro Evolution, which might, you know, screw that up a little.
I don't think they'll do that. I mean, but doesn't FIFA offer both options? You know, like all the EA games offer both options.
Yeah.
So I imagine if Konami did anything, they would do that with Pro Evolution.
Very true.
You know, I think there was a winning... This is the same as Winning 11, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I think there was a Winning 11 for GameCube that only came out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this series has been on Nintendo systems in America since it was called International Superstar Soccer on
N64. That was the
N64. Yeah. Was that
the
start of the series?
That game was very different because that was far more arcadey than these Pro Evolution Soccer games that we see today.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it was made. It was still made by Konami, but it was another developer at Konami, I think.
Interesting. Well, speaking of games coming to Wii, Manhunt 2 has been confirmed for release.
Yeah.
Yay.
Who knows what they've cut out of it? I would love to know, but it's probably like the Motion Picture Association of America, where they're not allowed to reveal, you know, the kind of stuff like that. Like what specifically makes it? They just have to try and resubmit and get a lower rating or something like that.
Translation
well,
boobs.
Julian Egbrecht was talking about that stuff at Leipzig, so...
Julian Egbrecht is insane.
Yeah, but I don't think there's necessarily any regulation against talking about that, or Julian would be in a lot of trouble.
I was talking about how if you get an NC-17 rating from the Motion Picture Association of America, unless you're from a very powerful studio, they will not tell you why specifically your movie got in NC-17, it'll just be, oh, for, you know, general obscenity or, you know, that, or too much sex, but they don't say, oh, if you cut this out, we'd give you an R rating, unless you work for a huge studio, because they're very corrupt. But, I was wondering if when you get an AO rating from the ESRB, do they in turn tell you, if you got rid of this specifically, we would give you an M, or do you just have to resubmit it on your own and hope you got it right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
But
I guess that would explain why they had to do, like, 180 cuts of Team America.
Yeah, I love all those stories about Team America, how eventually they just started putting like more disgusting stuff in just to see if the rating board would even care. And some of that stuff made it into the final cut. They were like, some of like the scat stuff that was like not originally in the original draft, they ended up putting in just so the MPAA people would have to watch it.
Really I really should see the unrated version. I haven't seen it since it came out on DVD.
But either way, this was a bit of a fiasco for Rockstar, but in the end, they could probably not be happier because this game is going to sell so much better because of all this publicity.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Halloween is definitely a very good release date, and that should help their marketing a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, come on, this game was kind of low on everyone's radar. No one really paid much attention to the first Manhunt, but now it's like, the talk of the industry, so it's guaranteed to have, much better sales than it would have originally, I'm sure. You couldn't ask for a better marketing campaign other than this game was at one point so violent that we weren't even allowed to sell it to you.
It didn't help Wu-Tang Shaolin Fighters any.
Perhaps not. Last story for the day today, Dragon Quest IX has been delayed into 2008, surprising absolutely no one. I mean, they've got these Dragon Quest remakes coming up before the end of the year. At least four is coming out by the end of the year on the DS. I mean, why put them all out at once and, risk cannibalizing their market when they could just space them out over the next, year and a half, maybe even 2 years, and make a lot more money?
Yeah, that's the Square Enix way of doing things.
There you go. Why release Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy on Virtual Console when they can charge you full price?
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Wow, that was interesting.
That was way interesting. All right, I think that actually closes us up for news. So when we come back, we're talking about the Leipzig Games Convention. Lasse is going to tell us all about it, so stay tuned. Okie doke, and we're back for the final segment. It's the Leipzig Games Convention. Our European correspondent, Lasse Paulsen, was there, so Lasse, tell us all about it. What'd you see?
Yeah, well, I saw a lot of games.
yeah.
Especially, surprisingly. But not many new games were announced, especially not by Nintendo. They did a very conservative showing, I think. And they displayed many of the things that we saw at E3 too, like Wii Fit and Super Mario Galaxy and Metroid Prime. We didn't get to see Brawl. We didn't get to see the Fire Emblem or the next Advance Wars or Mario Party for the DS. And Blue Ocean was there, but that was only a brief clip.
Right.
So, yeah. It would have been cool if they had shown a bit more, but... the games that they have coming up are still interesting, so I think it was a good show for them, and there was a very good buzz around Nintendo, I think. People liked their press conference, which wasn't really a press conference, it was more like a press tour where we went around and saw all the different games, and we didn't have a seat where we just sat and learn about stuff. We went around, and then we saw some videos, the usual YouTube stuff, and we saw
the same stuff.
Yeah,
same stuff almost.
Oh,
they talked about Nintendox. They talked about Brain Age, and yeah, we've heard it all before. And then they focused a lot on the Touch Generations games, and Big Brain Academy, and then Wii Fit took up a lot of space.
Now, you played Wii Fit, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of it?
I think it's going to be very popular. I think it's going to be clearly a million seller. I think it fits the Wii market perfectly. But personally, I wasn't that into it. Like, I found the games quite limited. Like I've tried the soccer mini games, so where you have to like tilt your weight from side to side to hit the balls coming at you, and Yeah, there just wasn't much to it. The only movement that was registered was how you were tilting. So you didn't. It didn't like you. Obviously, it couldn't sense how your movement. You moved your head, or your body, or anything else.
Right.
So.
Yeah. During E3, actually, Mike and I were theorizing that you could use this for kind of like a surfing game. Based on your impressions with the board, do you think they could achieve something like that, or do you think the tech is just kind of limited?
Yeah, I think they could. I think there's quite a bit of potential in the Wii Fit board, but few games showed it off. Mm-hmm. There was this tilting balls mini game, I call it, where you like you tilt a board and then you have to get some of the balls in the holes in the board, and like again very simple. It reminded me a lot of Super Monkey Ball, but
cool.
It didn't do it for me really.
Well, moving on to more like, go ahead.
What's that?
I was gonna say moving on to some more of the hardcore games. I know you also played Mario Galaxy, and I was watching some levels of that online. It looked really, really cool. Definitely a step up from what we saw, what we've seen. It definitely looks just to me a lot more cohesive and complete as a platforming package. Would you echo those same thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was the most impressive game at the show, at least from Nintendo. I think the demo was. I'm not sure if it was exactly like the E3 demo. Mm-hmm. I heard some rumblings that you could like put in a code and then some new levels were became playable. I didn't try that myself, but there were four sections available in the demo, the first one was like a tutorial bit where you run around. You have to catch a lot of bunnies, three bunnies I think, who are hiding. I think you've played it before, or maybe
seen
it before at least. Yeah,
I think they should. But
it kind of teaches you the controls and how the many different ways of using the Wii remote.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that there are so many uses. You can point at the screen, you can waggle the Wii remote, and you can also like control the nunchuck like with the usual controls.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely sounds
controlled
really, cool.
really well, and it's probably also one of the prettiest games on Wii. It's
definitely. I think it absolutely is. Like, I mean, just based on the, even going past the art direction, which is already very stellar. I mean, just the amount of polish in the animation and the amount of polygons in this game as it is. The textures are really high quality. It really does look like a great game.
Now, Lawson, did you get to play with the Bee suit at all?
I tried it briefly. Yes.
What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I liked it very much. You couldn't fly freely around. You had to. You could hover for about, I don't know, three seconds or so, and then you would fall to the ground, and then you would automatically recharge your meter, so you could fly again. So it wasn't as like free form as the usual Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a nice addition, I think, and the potential of having more suits.
Well, they showed the one suit that lets you dress up like a Boo.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which should be
really
interesting.
I didn't try that though.
And so, I know one of the other games that you played was Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. And I was reading your impressions, and you were actually really, really positive about the game.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it. I think it looked very good. It had an art direction very similar to Camelot's sports games, like very colorful and full of primary colors. But the animation was very, very good.
Cool.
And also moved very fluidly. So.
But now, one thing that I was reading in your impressions that I don't really like is that the track and field minigames, or games, I guess you could call them, which is where you basically have to just shake the remote and nunchuck really fast to run, and the faster you shake them, the faster you run. Which I just always find as like a cop out, really. I mean, they had the same thing in Rayman Raving Rabbids.
Yeah.
And it's just like, let's see how fast you can tire out your arms. I don't think it really necessarily.
It's an endurance test, and Carl, just like real
running.
Didn't
have much. It didn't have much skill involved, really. It was, especially that game. It was very, it was very basic.
Mm-hmm. Just shake to win, basically.
Well, you know, it's an Olympics game.
Yeah,
you
but it's like for the Wii Sports audience, I think this is a perfect game for.
Yeah,
for
it's
those
a perfect
people.
Extension.
And to be fair, that's pretty much how Olympics games have been forever, including the original track and field on NES.
So actually, you just mash the button.
It's kind of like the power pad. Game
Sheet.
On NES, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just how fast can you wear yourself out?
Very true.
Yeah.
So, were there any other games that you saw while you were there?
I saw the table tennis game.
Oh yeah. How'd you like that?
Not very much. basically, you don't have one-to-one controls, so which is very sad. Instead, you just have to swing the remote, and then you hit the ball when it comes, and it doesn't even register if you like do a backhand or a forehand.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to time your swing, because you just if when the ball is coming to you, you just swing, and then when the ball is at you, he swings automatically afterwards. So
so it's not even as so advanced as like Wii Sports.
No, I don't think so. And it's like they really try to make this intuitive control scheme, but no one. It appears that whenever someone came over to play it, they were like. They didn't understand it. They need directions from the PR rep. So it didn't
Very
really work.
That's disappointing. You think that game, you know, that's a no-brainer. That should be a lot of fun and really easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
How did the graphics look compared to the Xbox 360 version?
Well, obviously the resolution isn't as good.
Right.
But it's just. It's a bit soulless, I think. It's just you don't see much of the backgrounds and the colors.
So instead of instead of basically reducing the polygons in the characters, they just took out the audiences in the background.
Yeah, it looks very
very bland.
It looks pretty boring, I think. So
And you also
I have another comment about Super Mario Galaxy.
Go for it.
Because there is I have a few concerns. I wouldn't call them concerns because it's hard to. I can't. It's not like a criticism because the game could turn out to not have these things. But I hope that the game gets a bit harder because the enemies in the demo were pretty weak. Even like the big, you meet a big Goomba. He only like.
Yeah, that's something I definitely worry about, Nintendo dumbing their games down to make them easier. And I think Mario is a prime target for that kind of problem.
Yeah, especially with this whole like family-aimed play, like they don't want your little sister or your mom to have any trouble, you know, getting over the
But the jumping looks really hard.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the video of the cookie cutter level
where
the floors are moving at weird angles and they're full of holes?
I was just thinking
that looks really difficult.
That got me excited because
it reminded
me
of one of the warp zones in Sunshine.
Yeah, it reminded me of those pure platform areas in Sunshine that were just like so incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But still, I think the enemies could be a little harder. Maybe they could include multiple difficulty levels, but they'll probably not do that.
Probably not. It's possible.
This is really a problem that goes back to at least Mario 64, that it had really easy enemies.
Yeah. And I don't understand, because Nintendo constantly says that they are making games for both the hardcore gamer and the casual gamer, so why not...
Well, Well, Nintendo says a lot of things.
Multiple difficulty levels.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of hard with something like difficulty levels, like for something like that. Like in a shooter, it's easy because you just make your shots do less damage and you take more damage, and that's harder.
You could do the same. You could do the same thing in Galaxy.
You could, yeah, but you know, it'd be. I guess I think it'd be kind of weird to have to jump on a Goomba twice to kill it. Like,
yeah, but like if instead of losing like one. Part of your health meter, you could lose two.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but the opposite of doing less damage doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, yeah, right. That's understandable.
I think that's a very shallow way to increase the difficulty.
Yeah.
I mean, well, in a like so you mentioned first-person shooters, that's really a bad example.
Well, a lot of times, in a lot of difficulty, in a lot of good first-person shooters,
what you should do is increase the
tactical level
of the artificial intelligence. Yeah. Or change the placement of weapon pickups and things like that.
Yeah.
There really should be more care taken into it. And I would say,
usually
in a Mario game,
it's some combination
in a Mario
of both.
Game, yeah, in a Mario game, if the enemy is pathetically easy to kill, then it doesn't really matter whether it takes off two or three pieces of your health meter because you're not likely to get hit by it anyway. So I would say, you should make the enemy move in a more erratic pattern or give it. Have Goombas with spikes on their heads. I mean, they do it in Paper Mario all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to approach it in a slightly different way. I think that's a much more interesting way. And at the same time, I don't want people to think that we're suggesting that Mario games should have really deep combat. Not even to the level of Zelda games, probably.
No.
But it seems like you should have to think a little bit about how you approach an enemy. If you're gonna put an enemy in the game, they should put forth the effort to at least make it somewhat tactical. Instead of just saying, well, I'm just going to run at it and it'll die, or I'm just going to jump on it like every other enemy in the entire game.
Or maybe,
there should be a little more variety into how you deal with things.
Yeah, perhaps.
And there probably is later in the game.
Perhaps they could do, like, on an easy setting, if you set the game on easy, perhaps the bad guy can just sort of meander around an area and, it's sort of there, but all you really need to do is avoid it. But if you crank up the difficulty, maybe it'll actively hunt you down, or if it spots you, it'll start chasing you. But on easy, it wouldn't do that, so you wouldn't feel that pressure.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Right.
But again, we all know Nintendo doesn't really do difficulty levels, so it's more a matter of placement, I think, and probably they expect the young kids and the super casual people to play the first areas of the game and not get much further into it, whereas maybe later in the game things get quite a bit more difficult.
It's good.
Seen that they have really easy parts of the game and really hard parts of the game, and those are on the same so-called difficulty levels, so it's really a matter of the placement, and maybe some areas are optional, things like
that. Similar to Sunshine, you didn't have to do all those platforming levels in Sunshine.
That's right, you really didn't have to do any of them.
Yeah, there may be
very,
one or two
few
that you had to do, but
yeah.
And that's, that's the exact kind of good way to make it difficult is, you can beat the game with, 60 stars or 60 shines, and it's pretty easy, but if you really want to have the full enjoyment, you got to get all 120.
Yeah, that's true.
That's probably
the other thing that I wish that Nintendo would consider looking at is making sure that there are worlds that are, like, big and that you can explore. Because many of the planets were so small that you didn't really get that sense of exploration that you usually get from Mario games. Like, if many planets just... you could see almost the complete planet on the screen.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. They just don't want to show it yet.
Yeah, probably. And I hope so. Because there was one big area. I think it's the level where you get the beast suit. It's pretty big. And... yeah, I definitely preferred that level over the many small ones.
Very cool. Well, so what did you think of the convention as a whole? Do you think that it further hammered down Nintendo's whole, we serve the casual game and the hardcore game at the same time? Or do you think it was just another, press event from Nintendo where nothing really happens?
Check out our Brain Age sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was more of the latter, really.
More of the latter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it reminded me a lot about of the E3 press conference. They showed almost the same things.
Yeah.
And I was a bit disappointed about that. I was really looking forward to seeing Battalion Wars 2, for example. I was sure that game was going to be there.
Yeah.
But
Well.
But overall, the show, I think it was a very impressive show. If we look past Nintendo,
sure.
I think the scope of it is just, I've never seen anything like it. And I've been to the ECTS and the GameStars Live in London, and they were also pretty big. But nothing like this. They basically had like five halls with games. One of the halls was like a business hall, but then the remaining four, mm-hmm. they just had games.
Reminds me of the E3 setup, or used to be set up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there were camping areas outside and concerts and just a very good atmosphere. So, and they also, I got the impression that it was a really successful show. They got many visitors. Also, many more visitors than last year.
It could be taking the place at E3, you know.
Well, it's in Europe, yeah.
Well, it's in Europe, yeah. But I think, you know, a lot of, especially because this year it did seem like an extremely successful show, and I think a lot of that is because we didn't have the real, you know, hoopla E3 this year.
Well, I think that because E3 has been, you know, made smaller.
People still want that big E3, and now they're going to GC to get it.
Right, they're going to Leipzig, they're going to TGS, and really putting a lot more stock in.
Yeah, PAX was, but you know, PAX just ended, and it was huge this year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But nothing beats the press conference at E3. I just think the excitement at the news happening there.
Yeah.
Just unlike Leipzig.
Yeah.
Definitely.
As far as these companies setting up big booths with lots of people coming through and everything, you know, supposedly the reason E3 was changed is because most of the companies were complaining about it, but if you look at all the other conventions that have happened this year and the way that the same companies are showing up to these and presenting, they're really doing the same kind of stuff that they used to do at E3.
Though I think they're not showing stuff that's as early on in development as they would at E3. Maybe at Leipzig, but at PAX, and I think we're going to see at E for All, we're definitely going to see stuff that's further along in development that they feel more comfortable showing to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe that's the main difference then.
Alright, guys. Well, let's go ahead and close off the show, because I know where our loss is. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm sure he wants to go to bed.
Yeah.
You sound surprisingly awake for 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm about to fall asleep now, I think.
Alright, well, Lasse, thank you so much for stopping by, and we really appreciate all the hard work you put into covering the show.
Well, thanks.
And hey, at least you got a trip into Germany for it, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Well, remember, folks, you can send listener mail over to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com for Mike's crazy mailbag. What's that password again?
Big Daddy.
Put in Big Daddy into your email somewhere, whether it's in the subject line or within the email body text, and ask us any question you want, and we will read it on the air as long as it is the first question submitted.
Please make it, you know, sufficiently oddball.
Yeah.
We love that, please.
We need more weird. More weird, please. And keep in mind that if you send a regular question, if it's any good, we'll read that as well.
Even if you send a not quite crazy, crazy mailbag question, and it's not first, we would definitely still consider it for the regular mailbag.
Of course. You can also go over to iTunes and subscribe, leave a review if you so wish. There will also be a link on the new site to dig the podcast. So if you have some free time to do that as well, it would be much appreciated. And, I think that actually closes out the show. Yeah. Lasse, thank you again for...
Don't forget, our listeners can also leave voicemails if they want to call us at 1-800-547-6923.
Really?
Is that new? I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, this is a surprise to me.
Is that...
Yeah.
Johnny, you ass. You got me all excited.
Someone's actually gonna call that now, dude. Yeah. What is it, like the Girls Gone Wild number? I hope you used something funny like that.
I just made it up.
Oh.
I wanna hear someone email us and say, "Oh, I called this number and got this person, and they were extremely upset."
8-6-7.
When I was started telling them about Naked Samus.
Right. Well, yeah.
That number will actually lead you to the Naked Samus phone sex line. So.
Oh, that gives you the hotline where they give you the code that you put into Prime 3 to get Naked Samus.
And also, we'll tell you about local Naked Samuses in an area near you.
We love to close classy on the show.
Yes.
So, yeah. Lasa, thank you again for stopping by. Johnny, all the way in Boulder with his new computer and his new headset.
Yo.
And Mike, right over to my left.
Yeah, good old Tallahassee, Florida. School's back in session. I really wish it wasn't.
Sorry, Mike. I'm sorry that my fellow freshman class has been bugging you up, clogging up your roads.
Sorry that our younger generation wishes to have an education so that they may enrich your life.
I'm in your roads.
More like
your
pay
traffic.
My social security. I'm already crotchety and I'm only 23.
There won't be social security by that
time. Okay, guys. Well,
that's a myth.
Social security is a myth. Well, I certainly hope not, because I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and this is another RFN in the can. See you next time.